Okay, so there is a source sheet that is available in the text box. Welcome everybody to our sukkah here. So the Mishnah tells us there's the Mishnah. The starting point is for in terms of the kedusha, in terms of figuring out the sanctity of a sefer Torah. So I think the starting point is probably a Mishnah in Maseches Megillah. The Mishnah tells us b'nei ir shemachu rechova al ir lochim b'dam of beis haknesses, that there's a hierarchy into the way people could spend communal funds. That if they sell a street of the city, whatever that means, they could purchase with the money, they could purchase a shul. If they sell a shul, they can't just purchase anything. They could buy a teva, they could buy an aron. And teva lochim matpechos, and matpechos yakhu svarim, and svarim lochim torah. And it works up and up the hierarchy until you get to a torah. The highest point, the highest thing that one could spend money on is buying a sefer torah. There is some question the Mishnah then discusses about pidyon shvuyim later on, whether the money could be used for redeeming captives. But that's the essential thing, that the torah is at the highest level of kedusha, the highest level of sanctity, such that one would not be able to sell it for any other purpose. So perhaps the root of that, what exactly is in the Torah in order to give it that designation, maybe we'll get to a little bit later. But I just wanted to discuss really straight halachos, straight up things that perhaps we know, perhaps we've heard about at one point or another, things maybe we never actually looked and investigated into, but what are the halachos of how to deal with or how to what our encounter should be with a sefer Torah, with a Torah. So I have here a couple of categories here. There's some others to deal with, but the issue of touching a sefer Torah, walking out when the Torah is out, the idea of talking when the sefer Torah is out, moving the Torah, what are some of those halachos, and finally standing in the presence of the Torah and facing the Torah itself. So those are, I think, the topics, and we'll go rather quickly. The Mishnah, there is a... Oh. Okay, so with regards to touching the Sefer Torah, so this is an issue that people, you try not to touch the klaf, or if you see that if it's sometimes hanging, especially this time of year when you do Hagva and Glila on a Torah when it's on the extreme, either in Bereishis or Zos HaBracha, so often like the klaf begins to sag a little bit, and when rolling it up, sometimes you need to sort of grab onto the parchment. Beyond that also, now that the Baal Kori is the one responsible for holding the Torah, so sometimes it's a little complicated how to make sure the Torah stays open and doesn't roll shut. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Asur lechu sefer Torah arum below matpechos, one is not permitted to hold on to the Torah, to grab the Torah with his nakedness, meaning with his bare hands, below matpechos, without any type of cloth in between. Maybe this applies to other articles of kedusha of sanctity, such as a mezuzah, such as a megillah. V'lo nagu kein, that's not our minug. V'tov lahachmirim lo natal yada, but it's good to be strict if one didn't wash their hands, meaning one should wash their hands before they handle these dvarim shebekdusha. So we attempt to do that. Uv a sefer Torah, however, afil b'chai gavna aser. But the Rama concludes that holding a sefer Torah in this manner, so even that's going to be considered prohibited. So where is that? So the Gemara actually says, that's in source number 3, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gemara, the Avar Zeh Nikfar Arum Mitzvah Zu. The Gemara actually makes a comment that if somebody violates this din, somebody violates the sanctity of the Torah in this way, so they will be buried naked from this mitzvah. They will lose whatever mitzvah they were doing. That he's not going, and Mishnah Berurah says that you lose whatever scar you were getting from that mitzvah. Okay, so that's something that we attempt to avoid. However, the Mishnah Berurah continues, and that's the underlined part here. He says, V'chol zeh dafka kishein tzorech. That's only if there's no need to. Aval kishayesh tzorech l'tikun ha-sefer Torah litfor k'tzas u'ledavek bedevek matlis v'chedome. But if your goal is to fix the Sefer Torah, either that you need to sew it up in order to connect the panels, or in order that you need to affix a patch or something like that. We talked about that this week. I noticed one of our Sifri, the Torah that we're learning from every day, had a little hole between two of the letters. Now, it didn't touch any of the black letters, so the Torah is not puzzle, but it may require a matlas, a patch, in order to put behind it. But heich delo efshar rishai. So if there's no other way to do it, so then it would be permissible to do it. So it is. So we assume today that it is permissible to touch the Torah if there is a need to do so. So. Ideally, it's best not, or it's best to wash your hands first, or if you have a way of doing it so that you don't touch it directly, okay, that would be better. But that's the halacha with regards to touching a Sefer Torah. Okay, so now we move along to walking out. So this is an issue. The Torah comes out, and now we're laning from it. And laning could take a long time, or it could take a while. It could take a few minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. So what about a person leaving over the time of when the Sefer Torah is out? So there is a Gemara in Maseches Brachos. It's also in Masech. It also somewhat appears in Maseches Sota, where Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Menachem, Amar Rabbi Ami, Mai Dichsiv VeOzve Hashem Yehilechu. What does the pasuk mean? It's a pasuk in the beginning of Yeshaya that those who leave from Hashem they will be destroyed. So what is that referring to? So the Gemara says, Aha, Zehamaniach Sefer Torah VeYotze. These are the people that leave the Sefer Torah out and leave the room. I mean, they leave the Sefer Torah out in whatever, and they leave. So Rabbi Abahu Nafik ben Gavra Gavra. Now, Rabbi Abahu left between individuals. Okay, what does it mean between individuals? So ben Gavra, we normally understand to mean that that's between Aliyahs. So if you're between Aliyahs, so then potentially that would be an okay time to leave. Why? So the Torah at that point is usually covered. The Torah at that point is usually, there's something on top of it. So therefore, that would be a better time to leave. So, Rabbi Rav Papa, bein psuka lepsuka mahu, what about if it's between psukim? Now, what do you mean between psukim? How would you leave between psukim? So the Gemara is probably referring to a time when there was a meturgaman present, where there was somebody who was there to translate the psukim, and now you're in between psukim, so it took a little bit of time. So could you leave then? So the Gemara leaves that out. The Gemara doesn't answer that question. So Rav Sheshes mahader apia vigaris. Now Rav Sheshes, he, the Gemara tells us, turned his head away, and he would continue to learn. So Amar, he said, Anan bidi dan, ve'inu bidi tu. I'm with my things, and you're with your things. Okay, so there's two issues that come up over the course of the context of that Gemara. One of them has to do with leaving the shul, and the other one has to do with, sounds like, talking or learning when the Sefer Torah is out. So let's deal with them one by one. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, source number 5, Asur latzeis ulaniach Sefer Torah kashu pasuach, aval bin gavra bin legavra shaper dami. It's prohibited to leave and to leave the shul and leave the Sefer Torah when it is open, but between individuals, it would be okay. So the Aruch HaShulchan raises the question, okay, well, the obvious question, what about if a person needs to go to the restroom? Would that then be permitted? By the way, this would seem to be if a person even has to leave shul early or something for that reason. They shouldn't leave when the Sefer Torah is out. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, in this part that's underlined, what about if you need to go to the restroom? Sarach l'nekevav, the over al-bal t'shaksu im dino ke'emsa psuki d'zimra, o kriya shema u'bircha seha, v'yetze, o dino k'tfila shigomer t'filaso. So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, what exactly is it comparable, right? If a person has to use the restroom. So by not going and using the restroom, so there is a problem of Baal Teshak. So a person is really supposed to use the restroom as soon as they, when they need to. So by saying, well, I'm not going to leave now because the Sefer Torah is out, so in theory, they're in violation of Baal Teshak. They're in violation of this prohibition of not going and you know, taking care of their business as soon as they can. So Aruch HaShulchan says, well, let's see. Is the halacha of the Sefer Torah, is it comparable to Psukei Dezimra or Kriyas Shema, Berchos Seha, in which case if a person needs to go, they can go? Or is it like Shmoner Esrei, and Shmoner Esrei itself, so in theory, even if one would need to use the restroom in the middle, so ideally you could, if you could hold it in and don't go. So, V'lefini as Daisi, the Aruch HaShulchan concludes, the Dino Ketfila, the Gadol Kavod HaTorah, Kegavod Shechina. That is comparable to leaving during davening itself, when a person shouldn't go unless they absolutely have to, because the honor due to the Torah is like the honor due to the Shechina, and we assume that when one is davening Shemona Esther, you're actually in the presence of the Shechina, da'at lifnei mi'ata omeid, know in front of whom you're standing. So therefore, suggests the Aruch HaShulchan that even if that's what's pulling somebody out, so even that a person should avoid going out. Now, of course, being gavra l'gavra, it seems to be okay. So if you're between aliyahs, so that would be the time to leave, and not in the middle of an aliyah. Okay, and then the Gemara also discussed this issue with Rav Sheshes, that Rav Sheshes would turn his face away and megaris, and he would learn. So first Tosfos on that page points out, V'hadam rinan besota ma'idach sivik episko amdu kol ha'am, kevach nivtcha sefer Torah asul esaper afil b'dvar halacha. That the Gemara in Mesechta Sota seems to say that you're not allowed, when Torah is open, you're not allowed to speak, even b'divrei halacha. So the Tosfos there in Mesechta, in source number 7, gives about 4 or 5 answers, a bunch of answers to this question, and most of them are quoted here in Shulchan Aruch. It's a little bit questionable. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Kivat shehitchil hakorei likros b'sefer Torah, asu l'saper filu b'divrei Torah." Right, as soon as the Baal Kori is reading the Torah, one is prohibited to discuss even divrei Torah, afilu bin gavra l'gavra, even if it's between aliyahs, v'afilu im hishlim hu aparsha, even if they've already completed the parsha. I mean, the Torah is out, so one is not permitted to speak even divrei Torah. Well, sounds like open and shut case. However, the next line then says, "V'yishmatirim ligros balachash." There are those that will permit to learn quietly. V'yish v'yishomim she'im yish yuditzaisi l'sefer Torah mutr l'saper v'divrei Torah. That so long as there's 10 people that are connected to the Torah, then you're allowed to discuss Torah. V'yesh matirin, and then one more, l'misha torasa umnasa. If somebody is full parnasa, if somebody is full 100% devoted to learning, 24/7, so to speak, v'yesh matirin l'misha kodim shenifdach sefer Torah machzir panuv umara atzmo she'ina rotsu lishmo sefer Torah el likros umaskil likros. And finally, the third possibility is that if you were learning before the sefer Torah came out, so then as long as you make it clear that you were doing that before, so then that would be okay. So 3 heterim here are mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. One is that you're speaking quietly, ben gavra legavra. Number 2 is that if there are 10 people that are connected to the Torah, then you're sort of okay. Number 3 is if you're a full-time, 100% learner, that's okay. And number 4 is if you're already learning before the laning began. So is that like a good idea or is that not such a good idea, right? Do we recognize that as ideal or not ideal? So the Bi'ur Halacha, the comments of the Chafetz Chaim on that section, he says this whole thing in source number 9. He says, "Vinei kol ze the hasifa hu tochacha megula la'usan ha'nashim ha'mafkirin es nafshosam u'mesaprim besicha b'teila be'esakri." He says this whole section is really considered a mussar to those people that sit and talk during the time of reading, whether being gavra l'gavra she'asefer sasum asur l'saprim chaveru, because if you're between aliyahs, so even if the Torah is covered, you're still not allowed to speak to your friend. Poskim usher, and according to many poskim,
when you move back and forth, we can't hear every word.
Oh, okay. I thought I had this microphone to solve that. All right, I'm gonna have to work on this microphone. But well, kama poskim usher afilu b'divrei Torah, that would be prohibited even in the context, even if it's divrei Torah that are going to be spoken. Kama yigdal isher beish asefer patsuach. And certainly it's going to be prohibited when the sefer is open. Shabizayun hu kishemasir azon lishmo a divrei Hashem v'gadol avonu minaso shafil mish dvar Hashem. That you turn your ear away from hearing the dvar Hashem, meaning the word of Hashem is being spoken, and you're looking away. So that's a problem. So v'gadol avonu minaso shafilu mishayotze be'emtza hakriya nemar alav v'ozvi Hashem yachlu. that and so bad is your sin that we quote the pasuk in Yeshaya that the Gemara quoted before, that those that leave Hashem will be destroyed. You're here in shul, and you're not paying attention. This actually causes chil Hashem barabim in front of many people. That you're standing in the mizrach, you're standing in the east of the shul, right in front of everybody, and you're sin is being seen by everybody. And v'yesh b'zeh chashash d'loch t'chalu eshem kachi. That there's a concern that you maybe are even violating that what you're causing a chil Hashem. Lo t'chalu, do not violate my holy name. So this is so even though as one goes through the Shulchan Aruch, right there, it seems like there might be some heterim available. The Mishnah Berurah seems not to be such a fan of taking advantage of those. And to the Torah is out. It's a kedai. It's worthwhile to pay attention to the Torah itself. I remember. I remember one of my rebbeim. I think maybe even in elementary school. Somehow I remember this, that he mentioned that he once saw Rav Moshe Feinstein during laning, and Rav Moshe would have his shtender near the bima, so he would go up close to the bima in order to hear well, and then between aliyahs he would right back to his seat, where he had some mishnayos that were open. So that's learning quietly, probably somebody who's torasu umnaso. And it's clear you're not, and also some ad I noticed today, some ad that nowadays where there's a little bit more of a separation between aliyahs, because we add Misha Berach, so then maybe learning a little bit during then would be okay. But certainly to pay close attention during the time of the laning. I remember a couple of years ago at the Chag HaSmicha, so I wasn't at the Chag HaSmicha, but Rav Schechter spoke at the very end. He gave the charge to the musmachim. So like a 5-6 minute just rapid fire things you should all know and be aware of. And one of the things that he mentioned is realize that now you're a rabbi, and whether you're the rabbi of a shul or you're just somebody with smicha, people are looking at you. So it makes sense not to be looking into even Svarim over the course when you're not supposed to during davening, because if you're looking into Svarim, so then other people are going to look into magazines, right? So be careful with regards to this halacha. Okay. So another halacha that is out there and sometimes gets some press is the issue of moving Sifrei Torah, so going from place to place. So I actually remember when I was in yeshiva for the year, so I went to Poland before, during Chodesh Nisan, and with my father, who I think is here, I'm not sure who, Judy Gross is my father or my mother, but they told us when we got to Poland that, by the way, we didn't bring a Sefer Torah, because we're going to be traveling the entire time. And we were concerned that carrying the Sefer Torah would be considered a bizayon. And we asked the Shaila to Rav Yashiv, who was alive at the time. We asked Rav Yashiv, and Yashiv agreed that we shouldn't bring a Sefer Torah with us as part of the tour. Now, it happened to be that we ended up, I think, catching every laning. We were in shul for Shabbos, and the other ones we somehow caught. I remember once we caught a tour group in the afternoon that had a Sefer Torah, and we leaned in the afternoon during mincha like out of the door of a bus. That was one of our leanings. But we were able to get through it. But what is that based on? So the Shulchan Aruch says that b'nei adam hachavushim beveis ha'asurim, that if you have a person that is trapped in a prison. All right, by the way, it didn't start from the beginning of the sugi, but the beginning of the sugi is actually based on Yom Kippur. Because it says on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would bring the Torah out to the people where it isn't normally there. So there's a bit of a discussion there about how appropriate that was. And there's even a possibility that people brought their own Sifrei Torah so that they'd be able to follow along. So there is this part of the season. This part of the year is involved with this halacha. But the Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody is in prison, one should not bring them a Sefer Torah, even for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So adds the Rambam, however, he says, "V'hainu dafka b'shah hakriya levad." That's only for leaning itself. "Avalim kebez yom o yomayim kodem." If you have 2 or 3 days before, so then mutter, then it would be permissible. "V'imhu adam chashav b'chol inyan shari." And if you are a somehow have some kind of special status. So in even that case, it would be permissible. Why people with special status who get special connections to this, maybe we'll see a little bit later on. So the Bir Halacha makes the comment. He's like, why? He says, "Of emes adamer tamua, the Yerushalmi Mairi, that Yerushalmi, which this is based on, kish efshar leilich lamakam sheh sefer Torah munachas. That's where the person could go to where the shul is. Ulekach zilzel hu kishem ulichin sefer Torah etzel. So therefore, it is considered a zilzel in order to bring the Torah to him. This guy's in jail, and he wants to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. Why can't you bring it to him? Lo nevi aleim, maizi lusahu l'sefer Torah, kishem ne adam mahadrin achareha likros bai. Says, why is it considered a zilzal to the Sefer Torah when there are people that are seeking it in order to learn from it? So the Mishnah Berurah is kind of bothered by this discussion. Now, he doesn't go all the way and say, and therefore it should be okay. But he does say, Uladina, niradafil lehamordechai, even that Mordechai where the source for this prohibition comes from, the asar filu ba'anus, eno mayrikim bi'chidim ha'chavushim v'rotzim lehachnif asara sham l'kriyas ha'torah b'zeh asar. He says, that's only when there's one guy there, he's in prison, and he wants to get a minion to come. So he'll have nine people come, join him in prison. Sounds like, and they'll have that way he'll have a minion to lean. He says that's a problem. Umitam de min hadin yeshlomer de ein chal al yachin mitzvus kriyas haTorah b'zman she'ein yachol leilich beis hamedrash. Plus, he says the truth is that person doesn't have a obligation of leaning when he's not able to make it to shul. As we sort of had that experience a couple of months ago. About kishyesha masar, but if there are 10 Jews in jail, came in the chal aleihem chova kriya, because there's an obligation to lane, v'heim einam yecholim latzeis b'sham, they can't go anywhere, v'leilach acharach kama mordechai moda tzarech lahavi lahem sefer Torah lekros bas. So then it would be permissible to bring a sefer Torah then. So this question doesn't usually come up in the context of Jews, well, it might, in the context of Jews in prison, but I'm more used to dealing with the question in the context of a shiva house. So there is, some may have heard this concept that we generally have the practice of bringing a Torah to a shiva house. But there is, I think Beth HaMedrash may have had this minhag in the past. I think certainly Lower Merion Synagogue, in the period before Rabbi Shinman, had this minhag that you have to lean there three times. The Sefer Torah should be leaned from three times in order to sort of validate bringing the Torah someplace else. So the truth is, Shulchan Aruch didn't mention that. Shulchan Aruch only said two or three days. Where does this three times, by the way, three times is a little difficult when it comes to a shiva house, right? Plus, if you're laning in a shiva house, you're generally laning only during the week. And you're usually you're only sitting shiva 5 or 6 days. And that's only going to be two lanings. Where are you going to get the third laning from? So some recommend that they would have a laning there, mincha on Shabbos. And that way you could get in a third laning. But that's, you know, not the easiest thing. So where does the idea of three lanings come from? So the Aruch HaShulchan, in fact, quotes it. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the Haminug, the second line from the end, he says, V'haminug l'daktik shi'akaru ba gibel pamin. The minug is to be careful to read it three times. The zem mikri kikvius. Plus that will make it established there. V'im bizayun meshet t'talena mibes haknesses. And therefore, it's not considered a bizayun. It's not considered a degradation from the fact that you're removing it from shul. Ava b'pachus mi gibel pamin, if you're going to do it less than three times, till teluha l'tzorach arai, that's moving it for a temporary purpose, and that would then be considered a bizayon. Okay, so the Aruch HaShulchan is the one who is strict on this halacha, requiring that it be that one lean from it three times. I think many are makel today. So first of all, many shuls have Sifrei Torah that are devoted to this, meaning they'll have a shiva house Sefer Torah, which then sort of has that status of being the one that moves around. And the other one is that moving a Sefer Torah nowadays is, nowadays we have like cars, you know, you're not like schlepping it through the street on a wagon behind a horse, right? It's a little, is more mechubah the way that it's moved. So my understanding is that most are more makel on this and will move Sifrei Torah for shiva houses, even if it's going to be less than three times, which isn't that big of a kula. That seems to be the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. But the Shulchan Aruch does add that it's best that it not just be moved for that moment, meaning it should be brought either there before or should be left there after. It shouldn't just be brought in for leaning and then immediately brought back. Okay, so then one more group of halachos. I'll do a little bit of agadatha. So the The Shulchan Aruch says as well, all the halachos that we've quoted from so far in terms of the halachos of Kavudu to Sefer Torah have actually been in Or Chaim. That in the beginning, in Or Chaim, there's Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, and there's a couple of the halachos of Sefer Torah that are found there. But the actual Hilchos of writing a Sefer Torah and of the Kedusha of the Torah itself are found in Yerodea. So it's actually the next topic, right? For the Monday night shiur, I think we have one or two shiurim to go in Hilchos Geirus, and the next topic is actually Hilchos Sefer Torah. So we'll be doing more of this. But this is at the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah, so it talks about the honor that is due to a Torah, and it says there, and source number 12, Chayv Adam Lino Kavo Gadol B'Sefer Torah. A person is obligated to give honor, great honor to the Sefer Torah. U'mitzvah liyachid lo makam uluchavid ha-makam ahu ledarto biyoter. One should set aside a place, an honorable place, and should make it nice. V'lo yarok, one should not spit in front of a Torah, v'lo yigla arvaso bint kenegdo, and one shouldn't reveal their nakedness in front of it, so that sometimes people have Sefer Torah in their house, so that's an issue. V'lo yifshut raglo kenegdo, one should not take their shoes off in front of it, v'lo yanichenu al rosho kemaswe, one shouldn't put it on their head as a burden. Okay. And then it says, v'lo yachsur achorav, and one cannot turn their back on it unless it is 10 tfachim high. Rather, rather, you should sit in front of it with kovid rosh, with respect and fear, and because it is the testimony for al kol bo'ei olam, for all those who come into the world. So this turning the back on the Torah, so that's an issue. So there, that's the reason in our shul we have the minug of bringing it to, of bringing the Torah to the front of the shul. That after for the time of the haftorah, we bring it, I think that's where it came from, to bring the Torah to the front of the shul. That way nobody has their back to the Sefer Torah. Many are, you know, not machlokes. Some assume that if it's at rest, so then it's okay. Or perhaps, hopefully, the Torah might be above 10 tfachim high. The Taz here in source number 13 discusses the issue of, right, there's one person who very prominently, every Shabbos and Shul, stands with their back to the Torah, right? Who is that? Right, that's the rabbi, right? In most shuls, right, the rabbi speaks right in front of the Aron Kodesh, so their back is facing the Aron. So how is that okay? So the Taz already says, V'nir derabanim sha'omdim lifnei Aron, that the rabbis who stand in front of the Aron HaKodesh, enon b'chal esher, they're not including this Isser, sha'omdim achoreim l'Aron HaKodesh, kivin she'asefer sor munachas b'Aron HaKodesh, hava kamo b'rshu sacheres. These suggest that because the Aron is in another area, sort of like in the closet, so therefore it's considered to be in another rishus. So some have suggested that therefore it's also it's sort of in a separate place, and maybe the halach, it's sort of the halachos maybe don't apply to the same extent, right? It's similar to Sif Beis here. The next section is that haroeh sefer Torah kishuhu mahalech. If a person sees the Torah while it's moving, chayiv lamod lefanav, one has to stand up. And you have to remain standing until the person carrying it reaches his place, or until it's out of your sight. So one of those two have to take place. So you have to stand as the Sefer Torah is moving. So many point out that, well, there's a period coming up, maybe not so long this year, but in other years, where the Torahs are moving for a very long time. And that is on Simchas Torah. So on Simchas Torah, hakafos take place for whatever it is, an hour, and the Sefer Torah are in constant motion. So it would seem that a person is not permitted to sit. And the truth is, that's probably the halacha. The halacha probably is that when there is, during the entire period of a kafos, nobody should sit in the shul. Is there any room to be made? Also, some suggest that, well, yeah, the Torah at that point, its place is not to be stationary, its place is to be moving, so to speak, meaning its place is in the hakafa circle. So therefore, maybe it would be a heter to sit down, but the simplest idea is that it probably shouldn't sit down during that point. And then finally, two other quick halachos, the idea of following the Sefer Torah and kissing the Sefer Torah. So the Piskei Tshuvos which is a Sefer An Or Chaim. So he just kind of just put it here because it was easy. This is the easiest way to get it on the source sheet. That there is a idea of following the Torah around. He says, however, he suggests, he's concerned, it doesn't seem like if everybody has to follow the Torah, so then what happens? That means the entire room becomes chaos. Right? If everybody's following the Torah, so then everybody is sort of jumping into the aisle, and that's not necessarily ideal for a shul. So the truth is, I've seen shuls like this, where this has happened, meaning that's what the halacha says. You should follow the Sefer Torah. So the person takes the Torah back to the Aron, and the entire shul follows him along. So the Piskei Tshuva quotes a couple of things. He says, number one, he says it might probably the idea of being melave the Sefer Torah only applies if you're actually close to where the Sefer Torah walks by. So it walks by you, so then you should be the one that that follows it. But if you're not one of those people, so then that's a problem because it's going to cause chaos. And then the second paragraph, he says, "V'lo od ela afle elush ha-sefer Torah veres lifneim." Even for those people, "Ein ha-minug lovoso ela ma'at." The minug is only to accompany it only a little bit. "Aval lo ad lifnei aron hakodesh," but not all the way to the front. "V'chanira gam b'zeh hatam hu kedei shelo yavo lilchov zedzeh," because it will lead to pushing and shoving. Right? We want to keep things orderly. And therefore, that's the that seems to be the minug. Finally, the idea of kissing a Sefer Torah. So v'chein ha'nashim she'a Sefer, that's the on the bottom left here. V'chein ha'nashim she'a Sefer Torah veres lifneim. There are people when the Torah goes in front of them. Yesh lem l'nashik ha'sefer Torah v'lomar. There's actually a pasuk to say yashkini mishikos pihu ki tovim dodecha miyayin, which is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. And if you're close to actually to hug it. And add a pasuk then as well. So I'm not sure I've ever seen that, but the kissing we have seen. He says, "V'ulinyan elu hanoagin lingo." What about touching the Sefer Torah with your finger and kissing your finger? So yeshi l'gagul al minhag. There are those who sort of mock this minhag. V'yeshi hachziko b'minhag. And those that though, it's a good idea. V'achimin enu yachal anashik b'pel yan shkeinu miyat. So therefore, those that are not able to kiss with their mouth should kiss with their hand. I think most try to avoid the kissing with the mouth, even non-corona days. But the kissing with the hand is something that certainly is a minhag. Okay, so those are the, let me just quickly review those halachos. Number one, the idea of touching the parchment itself, so best to avoid, but if there is a tzorech, so then if you're doing repairs on the Torah or something like that, so it is okay. And I think certainly sometimes you'll have the glila thing and the Torah will be drooping a little bit, and instead of lifting up the klaf, a person will like quickly run someplace else in order to get the belt in order to lift the or talus in order to lift it up. So I'm not sure that's the best idea. Meaning at that point to leave the Torah hanging like that for a while you go and get something. I'm not sure. It might be the more appropriate thing to do is to just hold it up right away. That's already considered to be a tzorech. Walking out in the middle of an aliyah seems to be very problematic. Even to use the restroom, it seems like it would be problematic. But between aliyahs, it seems like it would be permissible. The idea of talking when the Torah is out. So the Shulchan Aruch does seem to allude that there might be some leniencies that are out there. However, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be moving in the direction of, yeah, but come on, be very, very careful about this. Really, it should be a time of absolute, total respect for the Torah. Maybe in between aliyahs there might be some room for leniency, but certainly nothing significant. Finally, the idea of moving the Torah, that it shouldn't be moved unless there is a particular reason. If there's a particular reason, it seems like it should be permissible. And then the, but again, ideal that it should be there a little either before or after. It should just be brought in and then taken out right after. And then we stand for the Torah, we follow it along, and we, at least for a little bit, and we could kiss the Torah with our fingers. But where is the, what is the source of the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah? So Rav Shechter in Eretz Tzvi has a piece where he discusses that the Torah, the source of the Kedusha, well, the source of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is the Aron itself. The Aron itself, which bears the shame of Hashem, and therefore that's what exudes the Kedusha towards the rest of the building. So the Sefer Torah itself, the Sefer Torah as well, is what the entire Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses is based on. And the entire sanctity of what we do there all emanates from the Torah itself. But I think beyond that, there is a further lesson that the Torah teaches us. And that is, there are a bunch of sources over the course, I think we discussed this several years ago on a Simchas Torah night, there are several sources over the course that sort of compare a Sefer Torah to a person. So one of them, and sometimes they're even in the negative. So the last halacha that we quoted from the Shulchan Aruch was the issue of standing when the Sefer Torah is moving, standing when the Sefer Torah is in motion. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Makos, in source number 14, Amar Rava, Kama Tifshay Shar Inshi, the Kaime Mekame Sefer Torah, Velo Kaime Mekame Gavra Rabba. He says, how silly are the people that they stand in front of the Torah? They're very makbun when a Torah comes by to stand up, Velo Kaime Mekame Gavra, but they won't stand in front of great people. Now, the context of that Gemara is just interesting. It says, the Ilba Sefer Torah Ksiv Arbayim V'asu Rabbanon and Batsu Chada. That by the Sefer Torah, it says that you would give mako, you would give 40 lashes to a person who's deserving of makos, while the Rabbanon came along and they diminished it by one. Meaning, we only give 39 makos, they figured it out based on the Torah, you should only give 39. So you should give much more kavod to a Talmud Chacham than to the Torah, than to the Torah itself. Rabbi J.J. Schachter has a famous drasha on this, where he discusses, see, who's the Gavra Rabba, the great man that the Gemara is talking about here? The Gavra Rabba is the guy who diminished the suffering of the one who's getting makos, right? The one who cared even about the guy who's getting makos, he's the one who gets the title in the Gemara, Gavra Rabba. But at least you see this comparison between a person, at least the Talmud Chacham, and the Torah. Also, similarly, in Maseches Moed Katan, it says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer ha'omid al-meis b'shas yitzias neshama, chayiv likro, that if you're standing there when a person passes away, one is obligated to tear kriya. L'maze dome, l'sefer Torah shenisraf, shechayiv likro. Similar to a sefer Torah that gets burned, that one is obligated to tear kriya. The one is obligated to tear their clothing if they're in the presence ever chas v'shalom of a sefer Torah being burnt. So it's interesting that's coming off of this concept. The truth is that Torah from the Rav that quoted before, he says this, just as the sefer Torah is the source for the kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, our neshama is the source for the kedusha of the guf. The neshama, the soul, is the source for the sanctity of a person, of a human. So therefore he suggests that that's why a Jew who has this that type of neshama, therefore there's obligation of kavura by a Jew, and there's not necessarily an obligation of kavura, of burial, by a non-Jew. Because a Jew has that neshama, has that piece of Torah within them, so to speak, that he suggests at least is lacking in a Gentile. So then the Gemara continues, and then one more Gemara, Amar Mar Zutra, Mapecho Sfarim Shebalu Osino San Tachrichin, Lemes Mitzvah, Vizuhi Gniza San. That Mar Zutra quotes this idea that the Mapechos of the Sfarim, Shebalu, that if the mantles of the Torah, the coverings of the Torah that got, that started going bad, it's Osin, someone can make from them Tachrichin Lemes Mitzvah. One can make from them, shrouds for a mitzvah, and that would be considered its burial, meaning it needs to be buried, and Mar Zutra says, and not only that, you could use it for a person, also seemingly highlighting this connection between a person and a Sefer Torah. So Chassam Sofer on that Gemara says, right, the Reitzarach Lahavin, my time he tiru lasos my pechus tachrichim lemeismit. So why should that be okay? Nihi shezuhi gniza san, right? So you're going to tell me that's because we have to bury it, so that's the way we're going to bury it. Mikom makom tashmish kedusha. Ich nishtamshu bochol. How can we use it for this mundane purpose? So Reitzarach Lomar, Chassam Sofer concludes, the hainami tashmish kedusha. The Adam Yisrael Havik Sefer Torah. That this is also considered a Tashmishi Kedusha, a usage of sanctity, plus a Jew is compared to a Sefer Torah. So I think with that, there is this duality. This kind of goes back and forth. On one hand, we say a Jew is compared to a Sefer Torah, and that a Jew has the name of Hashem within it and has the capability of being a demonstration of everything that the Torah itself represents. So therefore, a person is deserved of that amount of kavod, of that amount of honor. So perhaps it goes back and forth, that we are responsible to honor the Torah as a remembrance of the ways that we're supposed to honor people. And sometimes we have to, the way we honor people should be a remembrance of the way that we honor the Torah, that they go back and forth. The Torah is the paradigm of the way of an individual is able to lead their life in all different aspects of their life. And therefore the person who is the living Sefer Torah is then also deserved of the same Kedusha and the same type of respect that is due to the Sefer Torah itself. So hopefully this will encourage some of our additional honor to the Torah itself, and as we head into the celebration of the of Simchas Torah, this will be the year that we continue to honor the Torah and recognize all of the lessons that are found within. Okay, so Yashar Koach, we'll stop here, and unless there are any questions, we'll continue learning by ourselves for the entire night for Hoshana Rabbah.
Right. And